Okay, we do want to thank all of you for tuning in today to our third session on the Bible doctrine. We thank you for tuning in. Today we'll look at Jesus and the Bible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin our time together today. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. And Lord, we come before you as an empty vessel, asking that you would fill us, dear God, with your word and with your spirit, so that we can be a blessing unto the hearers. And then, Lord, we pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but help us to be doers of it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, we're looking at the Bible. We've been studying our Bible doctrine, and this is lesson number 3. Our first lesson was the origin and inspiration of the Bible. Our last lesson, we looked at the divine nature of the Bible, how the Bible is indeed a divine book. It's a divine book. And today, I want to look at Jesus and the Bible. Somebody asked you, why do you believe in that Bible? Why do you believe in the Bible? Well, one of the simplest answers that you can give them is because Jesus believed in the Bible. I believe in the Bible because Jesus believed in the Bible. If it's good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for me. So let them know you believe in the Bible because Jesus believed in the Bible. Now, what Jesus taught, let's think about, first of all, what Jesus taught about the Old Testament. Because keep in mind, when Jesus was on earth in a physical body, the only Bible that he had was the Old Testament. Those 39 books from Genesis to Malachi, those were the books that Jesus looked upon as being the Bible. Now, we're going to talk a little bit further about what Jesus thought about the New Testament as it was coming on the scene. And we'll get to that point later on. But what Jesus taught about the Old Testament, let's look at that first of all. Jesus affirmed the divine authority of the Old Testament, the scriptures. He said in Matthew 4 and 4, and Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, verse number 7 and 10, he kept repeating, "It is written, it is written." What was he talking about? He was referring back over to the Old Testament, back over into the book of Deuteronomy. It is written. So Jesus affirmed that the Word of God is written. Number two, Jesus affirmed its imperishability. How the Bible is imperishable. And we looked at that on last week. And I won't continue to keep looking at that verse. But that was Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17 through 18. You know, where Jesus talked about, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophet, but I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." And so Because that verse keep coming up, I think that you probably need to take that verse and memorize it. And keep in mind, as we are studying Bible doctrine, the big key on Bible doctrine is scripture memorization. Scripture memorization. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to just probably put a list together of scriptures that I probably just want you to memorize. All right. But until that comes out, you start making your own list. All right. And like I say, every lesson, make sure you try to memorize three scriptures from every lesson that we teach in Bible doctrine. All right. Jesus and the Bible. Jesus affirmed its divine authority. Jesus affirmed its imperishability. Then Jesus affirmed its unbreakability. John 10:35, he says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. All right. This is also equivalent to claiming that the Bible is infallible. The Bible is infallible, without flaws. Jesus declares its ultimate supremacy. Jesus declares that its ultimate supremacy. And keep in mind, this is what we are looking at, what Jesus taught about the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3 and 6. It's the Bible is exalted above all human instruction. Jesus says to the Jewish leaders, and this is Matthew 15 and 3 and 6, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. So Jesus put the Bible over the tradition. You know, in the Catholic Church, they put the Bible, the traditions of the church. There are four authorities in the Catholic Church. There is the Bible. There is the traditions of man. There is the authority of the church. And then there is the Pope. And all of them is on equal level. But the Pope is the final authority. The Pope is the final authority. But that's not how Jesus see it. Jesus see the Bible as being supreme. Jesus affirmed its factual inerrancy as well. Jesus replied when he was speaking to the religious leaders. He says, you are in error, because you do not know the scripture or the power of God. Again, Jesus says to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And the first scripture was Matthew chapter 22, verse number 29. Matthew 22 and 29. And then John chapter 17, verse number 17. In brief, then, the Bible is wholly true, without error. The Bible is wholly true, without error. That's what Jesus thought. So that's what we're looking at today. What did Jesus think about the Bible? Jesus, he looked at it as being divine authority. He looked at it as being imperishable. He looked at it as being unbreakable. He looked at it as being ultimate supreme. He looked at it as being inerrant. And then Jesus insisted on its historical reliability. Jesus insisted on its historical reliability. That, in other words, the Bible took place in history. And he looked at that history of the Bible as being true. Jesus affirmed highly disputed passages such as the flood of Noah's time and Jonah and the great fish as historically true. Yeah, he looked at the flood as being true. He looked at Jonah and the fish story as being true. For just as Jonah, remember, Jesus says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the bellies of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse number 40. And then Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people was eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And that's Matthew chapter 24, verse number 37 through 38. And so Jesus, he believed in the story of Noah. He believed that Noah indeed built an ark. He believed that God did destroy the world with a flood, and Noah saved his family. So Jesus believed in the history of the Bible. And then Jesus affirmed its scientific accuracy. He believed that he affirmed its scientific accuracy. See, even on highly disputed matters of the origin of the world and of humankind, Jesus insisted on the truthfulness of Scripture. He refers to the creation of the universe, saying, those will be the day of distress, unequal from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equal again. That's Mark chapter 13, verse number 19. So Jesus didn't believe in no evolution. He believed that God created the world. Jesus also affirmed the creation of Adam and Eve, saying, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united or cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4 and 5. So Jesus, he believed, he affirmed its scientific accuracy. He also said, I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? See, he believed in things on heaven, and he believed in things on earth. John chapter 3, verse number 12. So the authority of the Bible is confirmed by the authority of Jesus. If he is the Son of God, then the Bible is the Word of God. Indeed, even if Jesus is only a prophet of God, the Bible is the Word of God. Only if one rejects the authority, divine authority of Christ, can he consistently reject the divine authority of Scripture. For if Jesus is telling the truth, then it is the truth that the Bible is God's Word. And so Jesus affirmed the Bible scientific accuracy. So he didn't believe in all this evolution, y'all, that the world believed in. Jesus believed in a creator. He believed in heaven. He believed in hell. And he believed that God created this. All right. Well, what about the New Testament? Jesus and the New Testament authors affirm the scope of the Old Testament. Jesus and the New Testament authors. So not only Jesus, but the New Testament authors, the apostles, they also believe in the Old Testament. Because see, Jesus affirmed the authority of the old Jewish Old Testament, which is the same as our Protestant Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament. Now, Jesus used a phrase that encompassed the whole Bible. He would use phrases like the law and the prophets. Well, the law was the first five books of the Bible, and then the prophets starts with Joshua. I'm sorry, I had a mental lapse. Start with Joshua all the way to the book of Malachi. And so Jesus, when he talks about the law and the prophet, he's talking about the whole Old Testament. And you'll see him make mention of that when he talks about the law of the prophets. You can look at, I won't read it, but you can look at Luke chapter 24, verse number 27, and Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. And then Jesus also used the scripture, the term, the scripture. You can look at John chapter 5, verse number 39, and then John chapter 10, verse number 35. So Jesus, he'll talk about the scripture. But what was he talking about when he talked about the scriptures? He was talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And then Jesus used another phrase. He'll use a phrase like, let me just read it. And so unto you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. And so Jesus was affirmed. He went all the way back to Genesis and got a story, Cain and Abel, how Cain shed Abel's blood. And he said, you've been spilling blood all the way from Abel to all the way to Zechariah. That's the end of the Old Testament. So you got the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis, and then you got Zechariah, and then the last book is Malachi. But the writings, they are basically right around the same time span, though. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. So Jesus is affirming the whole Old Testament. And so Jesus referred to most of the individual books of the Old Testament. According to the Jewish numbering of the Old Testament, there were 22 or 24 books, depending on whether, you know, Ruth was considered part of Judges and Lamentation was considered part of Jeremiah. Of the 22 books, Jesus and his disciples who wrote the New Testament referred to 18 of them. So out of the 22 books of the Old Testament, Jesus are either one of the apostles quoted from 18 of them. And so Jesus refers to the Old Testament as a whole. Jesus indicates that the whole Old Testament is the Word of God in phrases like the law and the prophet. Do not think I come to abolish the law. We've already looked at that scripture there. Jesus promised the divine authority of the New Testament. He promised the divine authority of the New Testament. See, not only did Jesus confirm the Old Testament to be the Word of God, he also promised the same for the New Testament, affirming that the Holy Spirit would teach the apostles all things and lead them into all truth. He announced the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. That's John 14:26. And he added, but when the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you into all truth. And so those apostles, they weren't writing on their own. They was writing because the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And so the Holy Spirit gave them what to write. And so Jesus basically promised the divine authority of the New Testament. The apostles claim this divine authority for their words. Yeah, the apostles claim this divine authority for their words. Jesus handpicked apostles, understood his claim and their role in fulfilling them. For they too claim to speak with the authority of God as equivalent for the claim made in their book. Paul declared, the gospel I preach is not something that man came up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, that's Galatians chapter 1, verse number 11. And 12. And then even in 1 Corinthians, he says, for what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. 1 Corinthians 14:37. And then even John claimed, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked at, and our hands has touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1. So hence, he insisted that we are from God, and whosoever knoweth God, listen to us. But whosoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the Spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse number 6. And so Peter even insisted that what he wrote was from God, just like the Old Testament prophet. He said, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never has its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they was carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. And so those are some verses. So the apostles claim this divine authority for their words. And Paul cites the gospel. Paul quotes the gospel a lot. Paul, he quoted the words of Jesus from the gospel of Luke, where he calling them scripture, right alongside the Old Testament. The scripture says, do not muzzle the ox which is treading out the grain, and the workers deserve his wages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 18. And Peter even acknowledged Paul's letter as scripture. Peter says his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. And so Peter even looked at Paul's writings as being scripture. The New Testament is the only authentic record of apostate teaching, of the apostle teaching. There are few other sources that ever claim to record apostolic teaching not found in the New Testament, and these are apocryphal. being composed by non-apostles a century or more after the time of Christ. The only historical and reliable first century record of what Jesus and the apostles taught is found in the New Testament. So that's why we don't believe in those other books that was written hundreds and hundreds of years after the apostles died. No, we believe in those apostles that was eyewitnesses. See, in order to be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness. And everybody who wrote, they was either an eyewitness in the New Testament. They was either an eyewitness or they was around. Like Luke, he interviewed those that was eyewitnesses, like Peter and James and John and what have you. What about Christ and his critics? Let's just talk a little bit about that before we finish up for the day. Christ and the critics. To the everlasting embarrassment of Bible critics, at least those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ affirm exactly the opposite of what much of negative high criticism teaches. The following are crucial samplings of the topic of which there are clash between Christ and his distractors. Jesus affirmed that Daniel was a prophet, not merely a historian. Many critics insist that Daniel was a historian, not a predicted prophet who wrote around 165 B.C. after the event that he announced it about Babylon. But Jesus claimed that Daniel was a prophet who predicted things in advance, saying, "So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that caused desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are of Judea flee to the mountain." That was Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15 and 16. So Jesus went on to give various details about the destructions of Jerusalem almost four decades in advance based on what Daniel had even said. So Jesus affirmed that Daniel was a prophet, not just a historian. And then Jesus confirmed that God created Adam and Eve. Now, most critics believe that the first man, the first human being evolved from a lower form of life, but not Jesus. Jesus says, "For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother." Jesus says, hadn't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, "For this reason a man should leave his father and mother and should cleave unto his wife and the two shall become one flesh." So Jesus believed in the Adam and Eve story. Then Jesus affirmed that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. We talked about that. Jesus verified that the world was drowned by a flood. And Jesus confirmed David wrote the Psalms, or much of the Psalms. He ascribed it to David over in Psalms 110, verse number 1. Even in Matthew 22, verse 43 through 45. So you see that Jesus believed in those different things. And Jesus and his disciples affirm many other Old Testament persons and events. So not only Jesus, but also his apostles, they believed in the Bible. They believed in the creation of the universe. You can look at John 1 and 3. John chapter 1, verse number 3. They believed in the creation of Adam and Eve. Paul even talked about that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. They believed in the marriage of Adam and Eve. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13. The temptation of the woman. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. Disobedience of Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. They believed in the sacrifice of Abel and Cain. Hebrews 11, verse number 4. The murder of Abel by Cain. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 12. And on and on and on. They believed in Lot and Sodom. They believed in the story of Abraham putting his son Isaac on the altar. They believed in the birth of Isaac. They believed in the burning bush. They believed in the Exodus through the Red Sea. They believed in the water and the manna in the wilderness. They believed in the fall of Jericho. They believed in the miracles of Elijah. They believed in the three Hebrew children being thrown in the fiery furnace. They believed in the story of Daniel in the lion's den. So they believed in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. They believed in the Bible. So why do we believe in the Bible? Because Jesus believed in the Bible and the apostles believed in the Bible. So if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me as well. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this lesson. Take this lesson and use it to bring honor and glory to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen.